Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We got it out on the front here, got the crab, and I tell you what, before we get any further here, they don't put crab or any crab spice in the ice cream. They just deliver the goods. Eggnog, peppermint bark, and my favorite, the sweet potato crumble. We're delivering Taharka Brothers ice cream to you for the holidays. $15.70 off the 8-pack, and I have the little pink bus. They drive it right on up. They drop it off at the door. You got to be there to accept it because it's ice cream and it melts, but it's delicious. We'll save you $15.70. Use the code Baltimore Positive. This guy was more Cleveland positive than maybe I want to let on, but it is Browns week here, and I've managed to keep relationships with some old school dudes, even the ones that are left-handed and left-footed in this case. We welcome the great Dave Zastrow back on from the suburbs of Ohio in the land of Cleve, where you tried, you know, to make them competitive when you were there before and during and after, but lo and behold, a season of glory in Northern Ohio. The 9-3 Cleveland Browns host the 7-5 Baltimore Ravens. Dave, what's going on, man? I know everybody's not piling into the streets out there, and I did bring my leg lamp to honor all of you out there in Cleveland, but this has been as good as it gets, as they would say in Cleveland, right?
Oh, yeah. The talk about the Browns right now is it's at an all-time high. It reminds me back of the late 80s when we had the Bernie Kosars and Kevin Max and Ernest Biner days against John Elway. That's the kind of buzz that's happening in Cleveland.
The original right. Dog Pound is what you're
the
saying.
The original Dog Pound. Yeah. The late cardiac kids with Brian Sipe. I mean, the talk in Cleveland right now, I'll tell you what, when you've been as bad as we have been since 1999, with an exception of two seasons, which I believe is 02 and 07, you know, these fans deserve this. They've stuck by this team through, you know, some of the worst years possible. And, you know, it's happy to see that the buzz and the talk around town is the Cleveland Browns again.
Well, from being a citizen there and being a visitor, you know, over 30 years. By the way, my wife and I were cleaning out the radio station, just giving it the winter cleaning over the weekend. And I have on the wall, I have the program from the drive game. I flew to Cleveland that morning with Phil Jackman, the first time I was ever in Cleveland. So I was 18 years old. I just turned 18. And landed right there, went in Tower City, took the RTA, the whole deal, and had the full-on Cleveland experience right where the Higbee's was that has the plaque for the Christmas story, right?
Right.
And I went to the church right there on the square. You know, Jackman, religious man, it was Sunday morning. We had to go. You know, it was AFC Championship game. We went to church, and I'm not kidding you, everyone in there had a jersey on. And there were 20 people wearing dog masks in the church. And that's where I landed in Cleveland. I was there the day we took the team and brought them here. So I've been through all of this. I can't imagine Monday night, if it were full, if it were real, if it were no COVID, what this would look and smell like. And Dave, you know I have a flight into Cleveland on Monday. I haven't been to a game in 6 weeks because COVID's here. You know, my wife, the whole deal. Just don't need to do it. And no access to great players like you and relationships and all the things I love doing. Everything's on Zoom, but I, you know, for Cleveland, this is, you're kind of getting cheated, right?
Yeah. We're still waiting to hear what's going to happen with the fans. I know Governor DeWine, you know, our governor here has been pretty diligent about following protocols, and we've had 12,000 fans the last couple home games, but I don't know if that's going to change for this one. So we're anxious to see what's going to happen, especially with the 10 o'clock curfew with the bars and restaurants. So it's going to be interesting, but you're right. I mean, We were just talking about this today is, you know, we can't imagine, you know, if the stadium was packed at this time. We have never been in this experience at this point since 07. So it definitely would be a unique experience and something that would be a lot of fun.
Dave Zastrow is our guest, former punter, former Monday Night Live crab cake guest of mine back in the day and punting in the league. Yeah, man, we had good times.
We did.
You know, I have
I looked a little younger back then. I can tell you that.
Well, you're still left-handed, you know. You know, we go back to this era and all the years. I'm having Kim Herring on, you know, Solon guy. I mean, all you Clevelanders, I try to grab you once or twice a year. You know, I think of the Ravens experience this year and where we were and a football side of this. The last time you and I got together, I would kick it off the season and, you know, the Ravens were – were 14-2 and feeling themselves. Boy, it's been a really rocky couple of weeks around here, on and off the field, the COVID situation. You know, you were sort of a half-assed NFL quarterback, right? Like, you probably could have gone in and played, certainly would have been better than the eighth string backup to the wide receiver. But I'll tell you what, bro, watching a team play without a quarterback and then watching our team basically take half the bus and take it to Pittsburgh and try to play some USFL, XFL-looking thing, I'm worried about the league in that way with COVID and what it is. Give me your thoughts about this, because this easily could have been you masking up, going in, dealing with protocols. It's a whole different life being an NFL player this year for Calais Campbell than maybe it's been the last 15 years for Calais Campbell.
Yeah, it's very difficult. There's no question the league has a lot on their plate, especially with, you know, players. You know, first of all, not playing in front of pretty much in front of fans, except for, you know, a few thousand here and there is a unique experience. But then again, you find out all of a sudden on a Wednesday that maybe your star quarterback or your star tight end or whoever could get exposed now can't play. And now, so now you have to rechange your game plans. If you're a coaching staff, you put in a backup that probably hasn't gotten as much reps. And it just puts you in a tough spot. If you look at Denver when they had no quarterbacks, you know, that was just silly. I mean, that just was, you know, I don't have the answer, but that was just something that you would think they could try to make some effort to change something like that. Then you got Baltimore who goes up to Pittsburgh, and I thought Baltimore played their hearts out and gave them a good game with who they had. So it's just a tough environment. You just hope that things don't get worse, because I think you're separating the good teams from the bad right now. You're starting to see who's going to get in the playoffs, even if it's not, you know, the leading the division leader, because now you're in a wild card spot. Maybe you blame a spot. You may blame it on COVID, but at the same time, those teams most likely will still be there in the playoffs. So hopefully we can keep this going and get the playoffs in and see what happens.
Look, man, backup quarterbacks. I mean, you guys have been playing with backup quarterbacks in Cleveland for years, right? Like, literally, I mean, I'm not being disrespectful. Yeah. There's two tiers. There's the really good quarterbacks, and then there's sort of everybody else. Then there's backups. Then there's, we're trying out this third-string guy because it's December and everybody else is kind of hurt. We got to go play a game that way. But he's a quarterback who played at Texas Tech or, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not being flippant to you and even having fun with you calling you a half-ass quarterback, but, like, if they would have tapped you on the shoulder one morning and said all of our quarterbacks have the flu, like, they are wetting themselves, we can't shoot them up, we can't fluid them up, who do we have? We have Sam Cook, we have you know, whatever it is, right? And Sam played ball out in Nebraska, the whole deal. Tell me how you would have done if they would have tapped you at 10:30 in the morning and Billick would have said, dude, you're the quarterback today. Like, and you played it a little bit like Kendall did, right?
Yeah, well, I think there's two things. First, I would listen to whatever the head coach told me to do. Number two is I jokingly asked if I could get a quarterback salary for that one game.
But could would you even know plays as a punter? I mean,
no,
could you?
What they would do is they would just simplify everything. You know, I mean, they would probably, you know, we'd probably have a day or two to go over some basic handoff plays, some slants, some outs.
Day or two. They told him an hour before the game, like literally, right? Like if you had a couple of days because you can throw the football, like literally, I'm talking about no time, and they sanctioned the game. I mean, your point, I'm shocked they sanctioned it. I'm a little offended about all. I mean, and I understand we're in a plague, but I just thought it was unfair to the fans. I thought it was unfair to the organization. And I think even though they broke the rules and whatever, we broke the rules, right? They moved our game three times. I am wondering, even in your mind, do you think you could have competed and maybe won a game under those circumstances?
No, absolutely not, because I have no idea what the playbook is if you're talking about that situation. So I'm talking about if the quarterback, you found out that, you know, maybe a guy had a day or two to prepare. But in that situation, you're going to take your best athlete, probably a receiver, because you have to play somebody that somewhat knows the playbook. So even if you have a receiver that has somewhat of a throwing arm, he's going to at least know what the play is, and he's going to know where the receivers are going. So he's, you know, it's going to give the team a little bit more of an advantage of somebody like me that played high school quarterback, maybe a third string a little bit in college, that has no idea the playbook. It would make it next to impossible to even play the game.
Well, it looked like it was impossible to play the game as it went, right? Like, it didn't look like the National Football League. And what happened with the Ravens going, I mean, very unfortunate, right? We're moving the game, the business side of that, the football side of that. But
And it's a conference game.
Yeah, it's just it's not what they should be sanctioning in the middle of the plague to play through it in that way, because I think they've done a disservice to their product, right? In the end, if they take on too many of these, and it feels like if six teams went down a dozen players this week, they would just go play. And I don't think that's good long-term for them. I don't think it's a good look to say how low they're willing to set the bar and put not NFL players in jerseys and put them, and certainly put a quarterback out there. And what they did to the Ravens team, making them play without practicing, without being able to get together, like all of that. They pulled Dez Bryant off the field Tuesday night, an hour before the game.
It makes you wonder where they separate the line of safety. You know, they're making all these rule changes of saying, you know, no more wedges on kickoffs, or we can't touch the long snap, or we can't do this now. We can't, basically fair catch everything, but then you're going to have a team not practice, go out and play. You wonder how that helps with the safety side of things. The second thing really is, you know, the consequential part of a coach always saying that it's the next man up mentality. You know, if that resonates around the league, sometimes these executives saying, hey, you got NFL players and your thing is, hey, next man up, you know, we're going to be fine. So they have a very difficult job. I think in extreme cases like Denver and specifically more how Baltimore and the Pittsburgh game went, I think it's a very tough call to make, but I always think of how the safety aspect of it first, because that's all they preach from the NFL.
Dave Zastanel's here, a former punter in the National Football League, and has one of the rare distinctions. I mean, there have been a few, but a handful of Steve Everts and Gary Baxters and a couple of guys that have slid the lines on both sides, but makes his home out in Cleveland and called some games and did some radio out there. I know you were doing a bunch of stuff with your family and kids and playing ball, and you know, you have little Zastanels, the whole deal going on out there, not to mention your other kids in your family. Give me a little look at COVID life for you from the sports and the sports parent and where we are here in December. Where, I mean, will you be at the game? I mean, are you one of the people that will go down this Monday night and be a part of it?
The only way I would go is a friend of mine may have some tickets. I may go down. We're going to find out and talk about it later today. But, you know, dealing with life as COVID as a parent, it's ironic you asked me that, because we just found out that my daughter's, all her weekend games and basketball are canceled and practice is canceled, because last Friday she had exposure to someone in her class that they found out today was tested positive. Now they have to quarantine from school for 14 days. And then now you wonder, well, does that affect my kids at home now that are in other sports and a different school? And quite frankly, it's a mess. So the faster that we can get these vaccinations going and just get life back to normal, you know, because I think the biggest thing, Nestor, is you don't want the exposure to be in your family first. You want everyone to be healthy and safe. The second thing is you don't want to be the parents that are negligent, and now you're sending your kids off to sports, and then somebody else gets sick, and then now they got to shut down that. And then you feel as you're an irresponsible parent. So it's just, I'm probably, you know, people listening to the show that have kids probably can relate to what I'm talking about. It's just, it's a difficult time.
Well, that's a lot of people. I mean, we sit here, we talk, you know, I've moved beyond just talking about the balls and the gloves and the kicks and the, you know, like, real life is certainly, for anybody that ever told me to stick to sports should know better, but real life is, I mean, Dave, our mayor shut the city down this morning, like literally, right? Like business, you know, every restaurant you can't have people in, and people are going nuts, and I understand it, all I've ever done, but I also have doctors that are witnessing what's going on in the carnage in this country right now and awaiting these vaccinations. I mean, I have our friends at Greenmount Station, I want to give them some love. They have a team member, and they've served me many, many crab cakes, not as many beers because it's a long drive home. But up in Hampstead, heart goes out to Chris and his team up there. They have a team member up there struggling right now. So if you can give, there's a GoFundMe. I want to throw that out too. I mean, this is what I'm doing in common events here. You know, businesses are being shuttered. We have all that going on, and we're trying to focus on football, and the Ravens are trying to get through, and the league's trying to get through. And I'll be honest, dude, football for me, I haven't been out of the house, right? Like coming to Cleveland, not even – thought, you know, I have the flight. I'm good. Yeah, but in my mind, I'm seeing you and me at Lucky's Cafe, getting some biscuits for breakfast and Tremont, you know, going to the Christmas story, the things I've loved doing for 25 years in Cleveland, and, you know, Pearl Jam concerts and Stones, like all that stuff being taken away. The NFL has been the one thing for the last 10, 11, 12 weeks, up until 2 weeks ago, where, you know, it was something that was sort of normal on my calendar. I went to Houston. It was morose. I went to Philly and Washington. I stopped going just because of safety and my wife and the holidays and where we are and where the spike is going and all of that, and watching other people get sick. But, you know, 20 players on this team got it last week and apparently got it in the building. And the minute the game ended in Pittsburgh, you know, I'm on the Zoom, and Dave, these Zoom things look like hostage videos with the players, right? Literally. Not like you and me at the barn having a crab cake, right? But I would say the players each talked about, hey, man, we got it in the building and then had to go home to wives and kids and wonder who got it and how they got it. And the Ravens were culpable, as were the Broncos, in their own issue. But, I mean, you can speak to that because, to your point, one of your kids sort of had a sideways exposure. You're having meals. And all of a sudden, it's compound math very quickly, right? It's you put little you know, it's times however many people in your group times however many people, and it gets kind of scary when it hits the team in the way it did. And I know you could feel that way having run around where there's a flu epidemic in your locker room, and you're the punter and not trying to get it, right?
Yeah, I have a lot more respect for COVID. I had it a few weeks ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I wish, I don't know how I got it. I did everything. I practiced all the safety protocols. I thought I can picture one time where I thought maybe I got it, but it beat me down more than I thought. I was, you know, 6-7 days of extreme tired, head fog. I was even short of breath going up the stairs. So I appreciated it more once I had it. I got to admit, I underestimated it. So, and then I understood from the time I met.
You're scaring the hell out of me, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I was one of those guys think, oh, you know, I'll be asymptomatic. You get no taste and smell, you'll be fine. And
dude, you're a friggin' real athlete. You weren't like a fake athlete, you know? So, I mean, really.
When Myles Garrett got here in Cleveland, he said, you know, he underestimated. He was having a hard time, you know, with fatigue. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think when you go into a locker room and all that, I think they have to take the most serious protocols because of how contagious this thing is. And it's really not a matter of saying that, you know, it's me. You know, I think these athletes will be fine. But then all of a sudden they get exposed to somebody, maybe, you know, in the equipment room, or, you know, one of the, you know, guys working behind the the cafeteria. And all of a sudden then they pass it on to somebody, and then they get the, you know, age comes into factor, the respiratory illnesses come into factor, and then also you're quarantined, and then it just really has to be, you know, dealt with very, very diligently. And I think I applaud the league for being this diligent about it, but at the same time is these players have to take responsibility and understand how serious this thing is, and I think they have to understand how contagious this can be, because the last thing we want is a Baltimore, a Cleveland, a Pittsburgh that now all of a sudden can't play because they got COVID, because we're now getting down to the playoff time. This is the most fun part of the NFL.
Give me your COVID journey, because I do want to hear, you know, like, you get exposed, you got wife, you got kids, you got, like, did you quarantine? What happens when?
So I got tested on a Friday, and the symptoms started really on a Wednesday night. I started getting a tickle in my throat. You know, I had a dry cough, and I never had a fever throughout the whole thing. And the urgent care doctor said that they're not seeing a lot of fevers, but they're seeing, you know, stuffy sinus nose, fatigue, no taste and smell, which I got to admit. My wife passed on all the poop diapers for my kids because they're like, she's like, you can't smell it. You're changing all the diapers. I'm wearing a mask. I'm doing.
How many kids you got now? And ages?
I got five kids. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How old?
13, 10, 9, and two twins that are almost two.
God, I remember just you and me and your brother drinking beer. God, it was fun.
I know. And, you know, at my age at 42, the twins are taking everything out of me. But I love them, though. But, no, it's just, you know, I would tell anybody, as soon as you lose your taste and smell and you're feeling a little off, you got to really, really get protective on those kind of things. Because the no taste and smell is the real deal. I mean, you can't taste or smell it.
Lamar Jackson talked about that in the postgame Tuesday night.
Now, the good thing is, if you're in good shape and you know it's mild symptoms, it's a good way to lose weight, because I was eating, you know, holiday, Thanksgiving cookies, and all of a sudden this thing hit. And I'm like, might as well just eat fruit, crackers, and things, because I can't taste it. It doesn't matter what I eat.
Oh, is it back yet, your taste, or no?
Yeah, it's back. Everything's back normally. There's some things that I still don't taste as well as I did. But overall, I'm I'm back to, I've been back for about, you know, 9 days now feeling healthy.
Dave Zastel joining us here. Real quick, what has made the Browns good? Give me a little, give me some, you know, some football.
Kevin Stefanski. He is, his game plans right now, the preparation these guys are having, it's second to none. He is a coach that has changed the culture. He has changed the attitude of that team. And this team believes. He's taking it one game at a time. And when I looked at this Ravens game, you know, I'm excited to watch it because I know when we first talked, that was the first game of a season where the Browns, just like a lot of people, had no offseason. They had no mini camps. They had no offseason training, no preseason. And you brought in a whole new coaching staff with a new system. So we as fans understand, and I told you this, I think it was going to be a rough game. I don't think we expect to be that rough. But you're going to see a completely different Cleveland team right now than they did. And I can guarantee John Harbaugh and his staff are telling the players that. And I think, you know, I think the Cleveland, one thing I'll tell you, I think on defense, you know, their defense is still starting to, you know, come together a little bit more, getting Garrett back, losing Denzel Ward was huge. But I think offensively this team is running on all four cylinders, and it's a tough offense to stop, especially the running game.
Yeah, we got the early game on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, God, we're getting them at the wrong time. And, you know, and then the Ravens run around with Dallas and beat up on a bad team, run for 300 yards. I mean, I'm hoping that we get as good of an end of the season as we had in the beginning, and I'm hoping that everybody stays safe, and certainly for you and your family, what you've been through, what exactly what we're trying to avoid here, right? So, right. I, you know, I'm usually fun-loving, huggy, you know, out. I mean, I was at Pizza John's Monday night running pizza back, Dave, and I dropped the pizza off to my kid, and I don't even fist bump him, man. I mean, we're like wearing gloves and handing the pizza, you know, like, yeah. We're just trying to all stay safe here and get the shot so we can get back out to having concerts and fun and ball games. And I'll go out with your tribe to the tribe game one day in Cleveland, all right?
Hey, I'll be looking forward to it. I think we're all looking forward to getting back to normalcy. And I think the light at the end of the tunnel is there.
Dave, it's always good to visit with you, all right? Stay safe, stay healthy. Happy holidays to you. And one day we'll be together in Tremont. Man, if you could bring your five kids down, we do the Christmas Story House and get, like, at Lucky's Cafe and get some eggs and stuff. Oh, come on.
They're killing me because they want to do that this year, and I'm kind of holding back.
No.
I don't even know if it's open, so.
No. We'll do that next year, kids.
I will go ahead and check out your Baltimore Positive, man, and I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you being on. Dave Zastel, one of the good ones out there in the land of Cleveland. They don't have a lot of good ones out there, but he's one of them. Certainly on Monday night, no friend of ours in the land of Cleveland as the Ravens fight for their playoff spot and, big game. I don't know what else to say. Big game, big stakes, small crowd, big audience, and hopefully a healthy version of Baltimore Ravens.
Well, my son has Baltimore on their his fantasy defense, and Tucker is his kicker. So there's still some cheering that might happen in the Zastel household.
Must have been screaming around 9:15 when Tucker missed that kick after Aikman jinxed it. You know?
he was.
Crazy. You knew as much as they were talking about it. You knew that was the one that wasn't going through, right?
Always happens that way. It's crazy.
It does happen.
I'm looking forward to the game, man. I think it'll be a really good game on Monday.
Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. I may check in with you in the post game there if we go up all night on Monday night. Monday Night Football, bah, 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 right in Cleveland, where it all began with Joe Namath and Howard Cosell back in 1969. You can find me out at Baltimore Positive on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, anywhere you do the mobile thing. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, order your ice cream. Save some money and use the code Baltimore Positive.